What's up? What's up? What's up? Freedom Tech. What's going on, everybody? I'm going to check real quick that we're live. We should be here. YouTube. YouTube says coming soon. But I'm live. I'm recording. Strange. Let's go check X. All right. Okay, I'm good on X, so that's good. And something went wrong with YouTube. There we go. Now we're live on YouTube. Right on. Okay, cool. Welcome everybody to Freedom Tech Weekend. Today is May 2nd. Let's see. This is the fifth episode. So we've done this 5 weeks in a row. We just need to do it for like 7 more years, never missing a week, and then we'll start to be as cool as some other streamers out there. But cool. No, welcome. Hope you're having a great day. We made it through April, and let's get going. So last week we did a poll and we asked everybody what they wanted to cover. We had Orion Web Browser from Coggy up against Bitwarden, the password manager. And so the polls won out. We covered Orion last week, and Coggy was so great to provide us with some information that we could cover on the show. Today, now we have Bitwarden. We're going to be talking about Bitwarden as well as password managers in general. So I'm going to take us on a brief tour of a few different password managers, and we'll look at some of the pros and cons of using them. But then also, what was I going to say? I lost my train of thought already. Oh, yeah. Yesterday was World Password Manager or World Password Day, right? I don't know who decided it was World Password Day, but it was. The internet was all about it, especially all the password manager websites. They were doing deals. So you're actually in luck. A lot of them still have deals going. So if you want to use a password manager that I talk about, you might be able to get like a 30% off deal or something like that. You can pick your own poison there. All right, let's go ahead and jump into the stream. I actually have back-to-back streams going today. I'll likely be on another show right after this. So I'm gonna try and move through this quickly. We might have to stop slightly early today, but I wanted to be on time. Here we are. So let me go and share my screen. Let's get going here. I am at Bitcoin Park today in Austin, but I'm actually able to remote in and still do my normal setup on my server, which is great. So let's share the screen here. Let me get back. Make sure that it's sharing correctly. All right, so cool. We've got that going there, and then I'm in the bottom corner. I want my thing to be a circle, though. I always forget how to do this, but you're gonna have me as a square. It's all good. Customize circle. Boom. Okay, you don't need to see too much of me. It is sunny here in Austin today, which I love. I was out at Presidio Bitcoin earlier this week. Beautiful place, had great weather out there. Okay, so let's jump over now. You can see two cursors, that's fun. Okay, jump right into it. So we've got four things that we're gonna cover on this password manager tour today. We have Bitwarden, and then there's a tool called Vault Warden, which works with Bitwarden. But then I want to actually start by talking about general password managers that we've seen. Bitwarden was not the first. There's a couple that are really popular in the business world. First one is LastPass. This one became really popular first on Windows, is my understanding. That's when I first saw it, was a lot of Windows users were telling me to use LastPass. And then another prominent one is 1Password, which got its start on the Mac. Became very popular among Mac users and iOS users. They both are cross-platform now. These are two big ones, but then you also have password managers that are built into your operating system, Mac OS. Apple has their own iCloud password vault. Man, it's been forever since I've been on Windows. I assume Windows has some kind of password manager. Probably does. And then the browsers all have their own password managers. And I mentioned this last week when talking about Orion, how every browser wants to store your passwords for you. So there are plenty of places to store passwords, but you gotta understand the trade-offs and the security trade-offs that you're making with those, right? So let's talk about those. Let me quickly check the chat here, make sure that I'm not missing anything. All right. Feel free to drop something in the chat if you want to. Any questions that you have, any experience you have with your password managers. Yeah, would love to engage with people if you have anything you want to say. All right. So LastPass, this is a corporate password manager along with 1Password, and both of these are going to be very similar, but they got their pricing structures and all that. However, when I search for the word source on the page, I'm looking for open source. There is no open source here, right? Same with 1Password. There's nothing about being open source. So these are closed sourced corporate apps that you can use. And like I said, they do have 30% off right now for that that World Password Day. But let's go over here, and I want to understand a little bit more about these. So I guess I should back up real quick. If you've never used a password manager before, let me give you a brief primer. So passwords, right? We try to store them in our mind. We log into a website, you have to generate a password, and if you are typing in passwords and trying to remember them yourself, you end up using passwords that are memorable, but tend to be weak, and you tend to share passwords among websites, or you know, maybe use the same password, but you alter it just a little bit. This is inherently insecure. If someone breaks into one website and gets your password from that website and leaks it online, now all of these scripts out there, people are gonna run these programs out there that take these known passwords and start testing that password against other websites and using your username and password combination on other websites. And guess what? They are smart enough that they can slightly alter the password and try a whole bunch of things. So you lower your security when you try to keep all your passwords in your brain. This is where password managers come in. So password managers allow you to alter your passwords and have different ones for a website. But then they go even farther to say, why do you need to have a password be easy to remember? Why not just have it be randomly generated? So most password managers, the default is to randomly generate a password per website. So each website, each login, you get a unique password. And this is great. This offers a lot more security. So that way, if a password gets leaked on the internet, you're not vulnerable on other websites. And that's why password managers came along. Now we have these who are not open source, so you actually don't know what software they're running. You don't know what the software is running on the client, the app that you use, as well as a server that is synchronizing everything. You cannot verify the security model. You cannot verify that they are treating your data correctly. So it's very possible in any of these apps, if you cannot verify the source and you can't build the source yourself, it's possible that they have some kind of line of code in there that is storing your passwords somewhere else, that is making a copy of them, or that's simply just printing it out to an error log. These things happen a lot where apps have like diagnostics that they run, right? So if someone runs into an error, it prints out a thing on their server. And whenever there's a problem, they go look at all of their server logs. Occasionally you have somebody who accidentally, during development, they're trying to debug something, and so they print a password out into the log just for their own purposes, and then they forget to remove it, and so they deploy it to production, and now production is spitting out passwords for users in the production logs. This has happened countless times all over the place at companies that you would not expect. So it's great to be able to verify things. That's why we're going to talk about Bitwarden and Vault Warden today. But I wanted to cover these two as well because these are really popular and I just want you to understand the trade-offs, right? Okay. Now let's quickly do, I want to look at vulnerabilities that have happened for these services. So we're going to hop into Maple here. Tell me about prominent hacks. We'll make it singular or plural for the app LastPass. Okay. Let's see what kind of hacks and vulnerabilities they have had in the past, data breaches. I know that LastPass actually had a fairly large one, and that's what makes me want to do this. All right, so we have four that were, 2015 they had a data breach. and they supposedly plugged it. 2016 local password cracking. So this was in their browser extension, a vulnerability where an attacker could brute force within the browser. 2019 password vault exposure. Security researcher discovered a vulnerability in LastPass Android app that could expose password vault to other apps on the same device. So other apps on your Android app could potentially access the passwords. And then 2022 data breach and encryption key exposure. This is where they had a data breach, including encrypted password vaults. So this is, it's these last two that that I remember that are sticking out of my mind, where the actual password vaults were accessed. However, it looks like allowed attackers to access LastPass development environment and steal encryption keys. So they've plugged these up, but there are some major vulnerabilities that have happened in the past. Now do this for the app 1Password. Let's look at 1Password. Well, I don't want to do that. Go away. There we go. Okay, so password 1Password also has some browser extension vulnerability in 2017, 2019 security audit and vulnerability disclosure. So this is just an audit, had some vulnerabilities and they patched them. So this wasn't exploded in the wild. The desktop app had a vulnerability in 2022. They could access sensitive data, including passwords and encryption keys. It was patched. And then 2022 vulnerability in their Android app. Discovered 1Password Android app allows attackers to access sensitive data, including 1Password and encryption keys. Sorry, passwords and encryption keys. It was patched. Okay, so a lot of these are security researchers, but neither of these apps are open source. And so they hire audit firms to come in, and we have to trust the audit firms and we have to trust the password company that they're willing to disclose these vulnerabilities ahead of time, or just, you know, disclose even after the fact so they can get people to upgrade. But it's not as transparent, right? They get to control the message, control the narrative there. Now let's look at Bitwarden. So Bitwarden is, we're gonna do our little search here for source, open source. That's right. So Bitwarden is open source, and that's one thing that makes it such a powerful option for people who want to use a password manager. Now, something that all these password managers do is you have a master password that you generate. And this one is something that you need to remember. Don't write it down anywhere. Share it with someone if you feel like you need to, in case your brain goes to mush. But this is something that should be long and complex, but also memorable for you, right? So there are various things you can do. Help me generate, how should I generate a long, complex password that is memorable? Forgive my spelling if I misspell stuff. Okay, so there are a lot of different tricks you can do to generate a long password that you can remember, right? So use a passphrase. So instead of a single word, use a phrase or sequence of words that you'll remember. For example, I love coffee! Exclamation mark. My dog is named Max! Exclamation mark. Right? You can make them even longer and more complex, and maybe swap out a few things here and there. Combine words, mix uppercase and lowercase. It's using the same examples here. Use a password generator with a twist. Create a story, right? The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. You take the first letter from each word in that sentence and you create something like that. I've heard people use song lyrics before, or movie quotes, or really inspirational quotes that they, you know, that speak to them, a phrase from a book. But you can take a letter from each one of those words and make a password out of it. So there are lots of different things you can do here. But you want to make one really good, strong master password. And then that is used to locally encrypt all of your other passwords before they are sent to the servers of LastPass or 1Password or even Bitwarden. So that's kind of the key to all of this, is that you encrypt locally, and then this app is able to, for each website, generate a new password per website, something that is kind of temporary, if you will, and can be thrown away and replaced at a moment's notice. And that's what's so awesome about using password managers. So the difference here between Bitwarden and these others is that Bitwarden, because it's open source, you can see how they handle your master password and how they handle encryption locally before they send it to the servers, right? So in theory, you don't have to totally know what is running on the servers for Bitwarden if you are encrypting locally. So if you can inspect the local client that you're running, and if you even build the code yourself, then it lowers the necessity to trust what software is running on the server. Now, it still is really nice if you can know what's running on the server, right? That's why we do secure enclaves here at OpenSecret. Maple runs on secure enclaves, so everybody knows what is going on with the server software for Maple, and that we're privately encrypting all of your data, right? And if you haven't, go to trymaple.ai, grab private AI for yourself. It's awesome. Okay, so Bitwarden, let's go ahead and grab it. Now, they are a company, they have pricing, you know, they do enterprise things, all that stuff, right? But you can use it for yourself and you use it for free. So we're gonna do it for free, get started. Create your free Bitwarden account and you can sign up with their website, right? And I can do that. I will in just 1 second, but I want to tell you about something else, which is Vaultwarden. So Vaultwarden is a Bitwarden compatible server written in Rust, right? Here it is. So somebody wrote their own server software that speaks to the Bitwarden apps. So you could download or build the Bitwarden, you know, iPhone app, Android app, the desktop, that kind of stuff. But instead of pointing it to Bitwarden servers, you can run Vaultwarden yourself. You can run it at home. You can run it in your own cloud instance. There are, let's go to Start9. There are different, Start9.com. Okay, here we go. There are these home server operating systems like Start9. You can buy their server or you can run it on your own server. But they make it super easy to install things like Vaultwarden, where you just, it's like an app, you just click and install it. The other one is Umbral. And we are going to cover both Start9 and Umbral in a future episode because these are awesome for helping people to run Freedom Tech tools easily at home. Okay, I've got about 7 minutes left. So let's keep moving on. But just wanted to call this out that Vaultwarden is really easy. You can run it on your own or you can run it within one of these. It's kind of like a quote, one-click install, and then you point your Bitwarden apps at your own Vaultwarden installation. And you start to have more sovereignty with how things are handled. Excuse me. I'm crunching ice on a stream. That's probably like an amateur rookie mistake. Okay, before we create an account, let's look at vulnerabilities for Bitwarden. Tell me about hack. Or the app Bitwarden. See if they've had any. Because we want to give everybody a fair shake here, right? 2018 browser extension. Okay, so you're noticing a pattern here. All of these password managers have browser extensions. What does that mean? Well, what that does, it's really nice and convenient where rather, you know, when you generate a password per website, it's quite a process to go to a website and then open up your password manager app, type in the website address, generate a password, and then paste it back into the website. And then every next time you want to log in, you have to go back to your app, copy the password, paste it in the website. That gets cumbersome. So they have all created browser extensions where it basically lets the app live within your web browser. You have to give access to the website, to give the browser extension access to the website. And a lot of people will just check and say, give it access to all websites. That is something you should just kind of heavily consider as you're doing that you are giving some third-party software access to every website that you browse. So they are now effectively getting your browsing history, which again is nice if you use Bitwarden because you can inspect what the browser extension is doing and that it's not logging your browsing history. Okay, so they had a vulnerability in the browser extension. Security audit, vulnerability disclosure in 2019. Looks like a lot of the apps did audits in 2019. I'm sure they do them on an ongoing basis. 2020, they had a vulnerability in their Android app, allow attackers to access sensitive data, including passwords and encryption keys. It was patched. And then 2022, they had a vulnerability in their Web Vault. Researcher discovered a vulnerability in the Bitwarden Web Vault that could allow attackers to access sensitive data, including passwords and encryption keys. It was patched. Okay, so they are not without their things. I want to say right now, really quick, I am not double checking all of these. This is just AI telling me this. AI hallucinates all the time. So if I were to actually decide to use one of these for work, I would go look into these and verify and see that these are true claims and try and go look up the articles for all of these, right? So we're just giving a quick and dirty assessment here. Do the same for Vault Warden. And just in case it doesn't know what Vault Warden is, a Bitwarden compatible server written in Rust. Sometimes you need to give AI a little more detail so it goes and looks for the correct thing. So let's do that. Okay, so it does know what I was talking about. It found a few vulnerabilities, 2020 in the admin interface, potentially get access to sensitive data. In their API, a researcher found that there could be attacks that way through the API. And then in the Docker image, researcher discovered that an attacker could get access to sensitive data, including passwords and encryption keys. Okay, so those are a few. But again, Vault Warden is open source. You can see it all right there on GitHub, right? They've got 44,000 stars, a lot of commits, right? Almost 3,000 commits. They committed just yesterday. They have a lot of contributors here. So there are a lot of eyes on Vault Warden, which is great. And then same can be said for Bitwarden. They have a lot of eyes on their open source tools as well. Want to go look at those. I know I haven't created an account yet, partially because we're running out of time. This is turning out to be more of an introduction into what they are and less about how to use the software. Maybe we'll have to do a follow-up next week and actually use it. Or maybe what I'll do is I'll record a video. This is what I'll do. I can record a video of me like setting up Bitwarden and using it, or really you could go find a how-to somewhere. I hope that I'm providing really good signal for you right now, just introducing you to the concept of password managers, what the different ones are that are out there and what the trade-offs are. But let's see here. So Bitwarden, they have a bunch of different repos, and not only do they have the server and client, the clients to me are more important to see what they're doing, because this is where your data is supposed to be encrypted and decrypted and handled and all that. And so for me, I want to see what's going on client side. And like, I can go look at the iOS app, for example, or the Android app. Here I am, the iOS app. And if I want to, I can download this code and run it myself on my device. And then I can know for sure what's happening with my passwords on my iPhone. Because if you download Bitwarden from the App Store, they can have one set of code here in GitHub. They could have a totally different set of code that they deploy to the App Store. And there's no way to verify that. There is a really cool project called zap.store. Orion can't open this page. Okay, well, that's right. There's a project called zap.store, which is trying to create builds for Android apps and allow developers to sign the build, and then you can verify bit by bit that the open source code build, reproducible build. So you can make a reproducible build of the open source code and verify that it's the same thing that you're downloading and running on your Android without having to build it yourself. It's a pretty cool project. I'm excited to see how it progresses. Okay, so let's go download. I'm going to try and skip this whole creation thing. There was a download button somewhere. There we go. Downloads. OK, Let's download for the Mac. You can use Homebrew. Look at that. That's cool. You can also download it from the Mac App Store. I'm just going to download this. By the way, I'm using Orion as my browser, if you didn't notice. Oh, that's what I wanted to point out. Okay, yeah. On my very first stream, I covered Tailscale, and I couldn't show you exactly how it worked because I couldn't VPN, like log in while I was streaming. Well, I am logged in now, and that's actually how I'm doing the stream. This is my home server that I use every week on the stream, but I'm here at Bitcoin Park Austin, and so I don't have my home server with me. So I use Tailscale, and I am connected. I've got my network device here. That's my home server, and I was able to tunnel into my home server and do this stream for you. So there's Tailscale at work, your own personal VPN, your own private VPN. It's awesome. Okay, so let's open up, drag that to the applications folder. Bitwarden, you can tell I also downloaded 1Password to play around with that one. Open. Okay, so they want you to create an account right off the bat. I'm actually out of time. We got here. Let me know if you want me to do a video of how to use Bitwarden later. I can do that and post it to my YouTube. And but I think we're going to have to end it right here. This has been great. Thanks, everybody, for joining today. Appreciate it. If you're on YouTube, go ahead and subscribe to the channel. You're going to get these every week. Every week we do Freedom Tech Weekend. It is one tool that you can play with this weekend. And bit by bit, you can take your data back, right? You can start to pull away from these proprietary systems that don't share their code with you, that don't let you see what's going on, and try to lock you in, right? They lock you in by having your data and having control over the apps and hope that you don't go elsewhere. Well, we are going to use freedom tools that help us decouple from that so that we are flexible and we're able to move around as we need and know that where our data is being stored and really know that we own our own data. So that's great. I also stream on X, and eventually one day I'm going to figure out how to stream onto Noster as well. But thank you for joining. Like and subscribe, all that, you know, cringe stuff. But anyways, yep, go play around with password managers this weekend. If you haven't tried out Bitwarden, download it, give it a go. All right, later.